From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is BDGA Radio News.
For the week of October 24, 2005, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks for joining us, and we've got a bunch to talk about, so let's get right to it. And coming up in this week's show, Des Redding is going to help you with your focus point on those tricky drives, and that coming up in the clinic. We've got results from last weekend's Texas States in Houston. We'll look ahead to this weekend's Oklahoma Open in Tulsa, and a new course, actually two new courses for San Francisco. They will be permanent. We've got news on that, plus disc golf on the USA Network last weekend. And the world's disc golf course count is about to hit 2,000. We will talk with longtime PDGA course directory editor Cliff Town.
We now have worldwide 1,940 courses. That's up from like 250, I think was the number back in early 90s.
That and more is coming up in this week's edition of PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Discovering the World at dtworld.com. And Innova Champion Disc at InnovaDisc.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drive no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with a new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
It was disc golf Texas style this past weekend in Houston at the Texas State Championships. Results coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division, and Joel Kelly will not be denied. He's going to win by 7 over Neil Dambra, who will take second place. A three-way tie for third in the Masters between Jeff Cooper, Ronald Klein, and Brian Schmidt. To the Women's Division, and a light turnout here for the ladies. Jess Redding, though, is going to show that she is the Women's World Champion. She's going to defeat Courtney Peavy by a whole bunch. And to the Open Division, Jay Yeti Redding has a little trouble in the first round, and just can't quite get under fire. He's going to finish in third place. Chris Lesnar will take second, and your winner is Oklahoma's Coda Hadfield. A big round in the first. He's 7-under in the end. Tournament director John Kemp Edwards had this to say about Mr. Hadfield.
Coda shot both courses blind the first day, and that was the tourney course they shot the 49 on, which is pretty far off from Climo's 11 down, but an absolutely smoking round for blind.
Time now for the 60-second clinic. Here's the setup. You're driving. You're on a hole that's, we'll say, slightly wooded. Where do you focus on in the fairway? What point do you say, okay, that's where I want to end up? We posed that question to Women's World Champion Des Redding.
My focus during my drives, I'm a person that picks out the farthest point in the smallest point that I want to hit. So I extend my visual, my third eye in a sense, down past where I want to go. Hole one is a very finicky, tight little hole, and there's one particular tree that would be, in theory, the perfect line to hit. And so I focus on that, and I never throw a drive until I feel like I am really calm and centered and focused on that last point that I want it to go to. If it is in an open field, it's a little more tricky. It's very easy to find focal points when you are in woods, tighter situations. So the spatial focus point when you're out in the open field is a wonderful thing to do, because that's where you can tend to be sloppy when you're just in this big open field and you can just feel like you can crush it. You're going to have more success when you can visualize that open field, visual flight path or a point in space, and work on that.
Des Redding won her second women's world title this year in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Coming up, we'll talk with PDGA course directory editor Cliff Town.
Hi, this is Elaine King, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture, Cliff Town is a longtime volunteer for the PDGA. He is our editor of the course directory, both online and the printed version. He's also the coordinator of the Affiliate Clubs program. Cliff's got some big news to share with us about some changes coming to the online course directory. These are very positive changes, as we'll soon find out.
Cliff Town, welcome back to PDGA Radio.
Glad to be back, Brian.
You are a busy man, a hard-working volunteer for the organization. You are the editor of the course directory, and you're also the coordinator of the Affiliate Clubs program. Let's start with the Affiliate Clubs program. Give us an update of where that program is.
Well, the Affiliate Clubs program has been growing. It's been doing pretty well. If you go over to the discussion board up at the site, you'll see that the dedicated forums there for the clubs have been pretty popular. People love to get up there and communicate with the other members of their clubs up on the forums. And it's also we streamlined the process for the bundled PDGA membership part of the program pretty well as well. And so a lot of clubs are using their clubs are signing up the PDGA, renewing and signing up new PDGA members as part of the bundled deal. It gives the club extra $5 off per membership, which can be a good way for the clubs to raise the money. Some clubs extend that to their players, the discount to their players as well. And it makes things pretty good at fulfillment down in Georgia, too. They're able to handle a lot of PDGA members coming at once. And the clubs have been making use of also some of the benefits that come along with being an affiliate. They're able to get officials testing done without any cost so that they can have their members be official PDGAs, PDGA officials. And, it's been going well. We're going to put out the information about the 2006 sign up pretty quick here, and I'll be sending that out to all the clubs. Go to pdga.com and click on information and then click on Affiliate Clubs Program. Or they can email me at ctown, C-T-O-W-N-E, at pdga.com. And I'll fix them up with all the information. You know, the clubs do a lot of the work of our sport for us. They end up putting in courses and they end up throwing tournaments. And that seems to cover a lot of what disc golf is all about. So if you're not in your local club, contact them and get involved.
And speaking of putting in courses, when a course does go in, you are one of the first guys to know because you are the editor of the PDGA course directory. I know you got a recent update. What are our numbers?
We now have worldwide 1,940 courses. That's up from like 250, I think, was the number back in early 90s. And in the U.S., that's 1,645 courses with 295 international courses.
So we could actually worldwide go over 2,000 courses before maybe the end of 2005?
Very possibly. Things have been growing at quite a rate, and I would expect, by January, probably at the latest, another 60 courses to end up getting added to the – well, we're going into winter, so, you know, maybe we're looking at February or something. Yes, over 2,000 very soon.
Well, now I know that there are some big changes that have already occurred online at the course directory and some others that are coming, so let's talk a little bit about that.
You can go in now and enter the GPS information for your course, the latitude, specific latitude and longitude. And the benefit of that is that, let's say you pull up a course here in California in Pasadena, let's say the Oak Grove course, our first basket course. And when you click on the course and pull it up, you can go to the down there near the bottom. You'll see where it says Map T1. And if the latitude and longitude of the course has been entered, then Map T1 will be a link where you click on Map T1, and it takes you to a MapQuest map with a red star directly in the middle on top of the first tee.
That is so cool.
Very, very nice. And if it does not have the GPS, the latitude and longitude information entered, you won't see that Map T1 link. You'll just see map zip code link, and that'll take you to a map at the center of the listed zip code. But yeah, if we don't have the latitude and longitude listed for your course, take a look. There's some information up there on how to get a handheld GPS unit. Of course, we'll give you the good information, but there's a number of other ways that you can even do it online to generate that latitude and longitude information. Just process an update for the course and join all the people who have been helping us out to fill in these the latitude and longitude. But you know, even better than that is some of the work that's happening now. Pat Brenner is the guy who helped redesign the software for the course directory last year. He's done a great job. But Pat has been working on some superior mapping technology using Google Earth technology. And next month, we're going to be launching an enhanced version of the online course directory. Using this Google Earth technology, it's going to combine, new search capabilities, with an efficient presentation. You're going to be able to click on a dynamic map there and see all the courses within a certain radius that you select using the state or a zip code. And when you click on those course locations on your screen, you can zoom in on the street level for local driving directions, or you'll be able to zoom out to see a beautiful depiction of disc golf activity in the area. And in addition to showing the course locations on the map in many geographic areas, you're going to be able to view satellite imagery of the course. So you'd be able to tighten down, zoom in on, and be able to see the terrain and the foliage on the course.
Wow.
I'm pretty excited about some of this work. Pat should be able to launch this in November sometime. So get on up at the course directory and keep checking in with us. You're going to be pretty thrilled by this new mapping capability.
I've seen the Google Earth program. It's absolutely incredible, and I encourage anybody who hasn't seen it to check it out. So are we going to actually be able to start, say, at Oak Grove in Pasadena and then zoom out into space and then zoom into the gold course at Winthrop University in Rock Hill, South Carolina?
Hopefully it'll be just exactly as dynamic as you pictured. I think there may be some clicking involved, and I'm loath to make any promises until I see exactly what Pat's going to unveil. But I think we'll be suitably amazed by what he'll be bringing to us. I've seen that Google Earth. It's just amazing what can be done. I'm really looking forward to see it. Well, just at this point, what would be really nice would be, let's say you're going to take a trip from point A to point B, Oak Grove to Winthrop, as you say, and you're going to be going along Interstate 10 or 80 along the way. You're going to be able to look at the map, pick the area that you want to be at, click down to it, and zoom in, and it'll dynamically show you the courses. You'll be able to see which courses are nearer to the interstate or nearer to the destination cities that you're going to be driving or flying to along the way. Now, in order to do that, you've pretty much had to get the course directory, the most recent course directory, to see the little basket icon and see a good map representation of exactly where the course is. And this is a great step forward. People have been asking for it, and we've been looking to try to give it to them for years. And finally, we've got that kind of combination of technology and volunteer effort that we're going to be able to present it to folks.
That is the whip. Okay, so I've now got all this great information right at my fingertips. I have so many courses to choose from on my trip. You're actually also going to be integrating some of the new course evaluation information right into the directory.
Oh, yeah. As some of you may know, the course evaluation program just recently launched, and this has been it's been in the works for a while. It took us longer to get it together than we had figured. But Stork had originally been enthralled with the idea of having something similar to the AAA directory for hotels, where you're able to go in and take a look and be able to tell what type of hotels are going to be on your journey. And so we were looking for a program that would look at the courses and let us know which ones were the top and which ones were the medium and which ones needed some work. The course evaluation program was born of a lot effort. And Dave Gentry, who's now working out of the PDGA offices, is our tour manager. Myself, Chuck Kennedy, John Houck, and Stork. There's been a number of different folks involved in putting all this together. But basically, what we've got are surveys. People go to the course. It's a couple hours of work. You fill out all the information on the survey. You'll need the distances of the holes and a variety of different information that you can pretty much only get on site. It will take a visit to the course to get this information. Then it's in an Excel file, and it generates a rating, an evaluation rating for the course. The number that gets generated, there's three different sections, basics, design, and amenities. And the number that gets generated, this BDA number, whereas 9 is the best. If you have a 999 course, you're getting top scores in everything. The BDA number that'll be presented for you will be like a number like 6, 8, 7. This is a pretty decent course. It's scoring a 6 in basics. It's scoring an 8 in design, which is a very high design number. And then a 7 for amenities, which are the frills. You're going to be able to pick your courses by looking at those first two numbers, the first number being basics and the second number being design. If you're more interested in design, you'll look for courses that have that middle number higher. And what we've done is boiled down those. There's a formula that boils down those numbers and then produces an icon. If it's a 5-chain course, that's the top. 4.5, 4, 3.5 is like a middle range, good course. We need to get a lot more courses evaluated. What's going to happen is pretty soon these course evaluations are going to be dynamically up at the directory. You're going to pull up your course, look at it. It'll have the icons to the right, 3 or 4 chains. You click on those and you'll be able to go to detailed information on the course. You'll be able to go directly to that survey that was filled out that evaluated the course with all the information.
Cliff Towne is the volunteer editor of the PDGA course directory, both online and print version, and he's coordinator of the Affiliate Clubs program. We spoke to him at his home in Los Angeles. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
Discovering the World has long been the leader in mail-order disc services, with the largest selection of professional and recreational flying disc products, plus PDGA merchandise. Discovering the World is a great place to find the disc you need for the sport you love. Online orders ship within 24 hours, and the new retail location is open 7 days a week to handle all your flying disc needs. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com. Discovering the World.
The Mucho Grande event this weekend is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's the Oklahoma Open, and unlike many Super Tours, this one is open to everyone, pros and ams alike. And a big heads up here for you amateur disc golfers, this will also be a great preview of next year's Am and Junior Worlds, which will also be held in Tulsa. The co-tournament director for this weekend's Oklahoma Open is Wayne Forrest.
The Oklahoma Open came about as our B-tier, formerly called the McClure Open, grew to such size and stature and had the kind of people traveling in for it just ahead of the Veterans Park Super Tour weekend that 4 years ago when we developed it into an A-tier, and we've always been able to meet all the levels of an A-tier for body count, for dollars paid out, added cash. So in the four-year history of it, it seems like it's grown every year. There's been a couple of years the weather wasn't so great at the end of October, early November, but there you go. You do with the climate as you can. You get the courses set up as well as you can, and we've had some great attendance, some good players. As far as 04 defending champs, your men's Open Pro champion was Barry Schultz. Des Redding won the Open Pro women's division. As in the past, sometimes we've just been the A tier, just the advanced and pro divisions only. But this year we have every division from all the way down top to bottom, every division, any number in a division. But we have a B-tier tournament running concurrently, but they do start at Chandler Park. They start out on a course with footage about 4,190. So just a small course, not too much challenge, hardly any OB, unless you're in a tree. Riverside is their second course. They'll play that, and then they'll get into the neighborhood of 5,000 feet because it's 4,928, offers a little more challenge, but there again, it's a control course, medium and control. And then they finish their tournament then Sunday morning at Course de Villio, which is 6,830 feet worth of challenge. There's trees out there. There's some OBs to negotiate. But there again, that's the B-tier side. That's all the amateurs, which would be the intermediate. And then again, the novices, the recreational division, any juniors, they'll all be playing a B-tier tournament and winding up over at McClure Park in time to watch final round of the pros. We've set this one up to be the biggest and best Oklahoma Open that we've had in the past, and we've had some good ones, some very good ones.
Wayne Forrest is co-tournament director for this weekend's Oklahoma Open. He spoke to us from his workplace in Tulsa. There is the happy music. Must be time to run down this weekend's events. October 29th and 30th in Vegas, it's the Halloween Classic. That's for AMs only. And in Washington, the Halloween Scream, another AM-only event. In California, the Chuck Friedland Memorial. And in Bowling Green, Nats Halloween 22. In Kamloops, British Columbia, the Pacific Northwest Halloween Heiser Howl. In Burlington, Ontario, the Bronte Creek Classic. And in Wimberley, Texas, the FlyingHighDiscGolf.com Circle R Lone Star Series. Say that three times fast. In Ohio, the Great Seal Scream. In Spotsylvania, Virginia, the Hawk Hollow Open. In Grand Island, New York, the Beaver Island. That's a Katrina Relief event. In Georgia, it's the Fright Flight Doubles. Indiana, hosting the Lakewood Fall Classic. And in Maine, the Challenge of the Bog Dragon. Full list anytime at pdga.com. And finally this week, disc golf was on national television this past weekend on the USA Network on a Sunday morning, a program called PGA Tour Sunday. They did like a nice 5-minute piece on the USDGC, and they did a great job with it. It was a nicely produced piece. Okay, some misspellings in there and whatnot, but a great piece. And what I really loved was after it was done, the two host guys for the show, right, they got a basket, they got some discs, and they're putting them in. And you could tell these guys are just having a riot. So overall, a very good disc golf piece on national television, and you can find a digitized version of that on the discussion board. Look for the thread called USDGC on PGA Tour Sunday. And great news out of San Francisco. We told you about this a couple of weeks ago. The club there is for years and years trying to get a permanent course in Golden Gate Park, right at the base of the big bridge there. And we invited you to go ahead and contact their local parks department and say, yeah, this is a good thing. Well, 1,400 postcards later, 900 emails, hundreds of phone calls, and the Parks Board voted unanimously not only to make this course permanent, but to expand it from 12 holes to 18. And to boot, they're also going to add a second course in another park called McLaren Park. So disc golf now solidified in San Francisco. And what I think is really cool about this whole deal is that now there's a disc golf course at one of the United States' most beloved landmarks, the Golden Gate Bridge. So congratulations to Ross Hammond and everybody there in the San Francisco Disc Golf Club. Job well done. And that, my friends, is the disc golf news for the week of October 24. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsors this week, Discovering the World and Innova Champion Discs. And until next week, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, leave the course cleaner than you found it, and keep them in the fairways.